everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. And if I'm sounding a little bit tired today, is that I had what seemingly was a very long and tiring Saturday, and today I'm feeling it, and so please bear with me. So allow me to at least go through the process and the main announcement before I let all of you in on what is going to be discussed and or talked about in this week's episode. Please let me inform all of you our GoFundMe campaign at GoFundMe.com/HelpTheLoneCoatMafiaPodcast campaign is still going on. Remember, the website is, again, GoFundMe.com/HelpTheLoneCoatMafiaPodcast. It's going on. It's a $2,000 goal, and the funds that we are raising in this campaign is to go get better equipment. The funds are going towards a brand new laptop and camera equipment. Pretty much a DSLR camera and possibly an actual GoPro. So we have all that for the show, and we could bring better episodes to you and more video and photographic content for all of you out there. If you're worried that, oh, this might be a scam, it is not a scam. Once we achieve our goal, we will be doing unboxings to show you what we got and everything else. If I got scanning receipts and put them up on Instagram and everything else to show all of you what we got, there will be unboxings in regards to what we got. And I know some of you, how are you going to be unboxing a camera if they're going to be used to record? Well, I do have a smartphone that I usually use for unboxing, so it'll be used to that, and once I get everything set up, it'll be transferred to the new equipment. So anything above and beyond the goal that we have, it'll more than likely be put towards the show in some way, shape, or form. But if and when that ever happens, I will be talking about it not with just my co-host, but all of you listeners out there on Twitter that follow us on Twitter. I'll be posting up questions on the GoFundMe and everything else, so to let all of you know and be a part of that decision-making process. So please do not be afraid of this campaign. It's just hard for us to spend extra funds on the new equipment. That's why we're doing this. Now, as per the show, we are going back to the Eastern Panhandle Paracon that we were at back in July this year, 2018. And the person in this panel is Rebecca Boyer. I hope to be pronouncing her name correctly. And she is from the Antine Paranormal Society, and I hope I'm pronouncing that very, very, I want to say Anaheim, but it's not Anaheim, it's Antinum, I think it is, Paranormal Society, and the panel is Paranormal 101. It's a very short panel. That's why it seems like I'm filling time here, because the panel is maybe about 15 minutes long. She might have done another panel on Sunday as well called Paranormal 101, but I may change the title, so I'll still fill all of you in regards to that, what everything is, when that panel drops as well. But let me just state the standard disclaimers, the first being that we here at the Long Coat Mafia Podcast do not lay claim to any of the content that is being said in this panel, meaning that this is her panel, this is what she said, everything she says is her opinion, her topic, like I said, it's all her, and whom she represents. We don't lay claim to any of it as content. We are just sharing it with all of you out there to get it to a larger audience. For those of you out there who couldn't go to the Paracon in any way, shape, or form, it's just that. It's something that is being shared with all of you. We're just sharing it. That's it. Number two, there was maybe about a minute or two out of the whole panel that was taken out, and that is due to the fact that in where it was recorded at, the audience, either the PA mic or our microphone that was during recording could not pick up what was said by the audience. So that was cut out. I know there might be times it makes her sound very mean and not nice. So please be aware, it might be just the fact that of me editing the program. It is not her. She was very, she was a very nice person to speak to. She had a wonderful panel, and she had even though the panel was short, she was very nice. She is not a mean person, even though the panel the edits kind of make her seem like that, or she ended it abruptly. She did not do that. It just seemed like that due to the edits. So, just wanted to state that. Again, it's not our content, it's hers. We're just sharing it. We're not making any claim to it. So, and that is about it. So, let me just lay down the panel right here.
All right, I am Rebecca Boyer, and I am the co-founder, case manager of Antietam Paranormal Society. Just so you know, this is my first real speaking, so I don't know why I'm nervous, because I speak at ghost hunts all the time. We've done ghost hunt guiding at Trans-Allegheny and places like the Oddfellows and Harper's Ferry, a Masonic Temple in Hagerstown, Maryland, so I shouldn't be nervous, but I am. So, Antietam Paranormal Society, if you haven't heard about us, we were founded in 2008 by my husband and I in Hagerstown, Maryland. We've done lots of locations over the years, so over 10 years of investigations and over hundreds of actual investigations under our belts. We've done the Dagmar Hotel in Hagerstown, Maryland. We've done, we haven't done the Roundhouse, which hopefully we're going to put that under our belt soon. Yeah, exactly. We'll be doing that tonight. We were volunteer guides at Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum for 8 years, and lots of stories there. So if anybody has questions about that, you're free to ask in a little bit. We've done locations like Engine 1 in Hagerstown, Maryland. We've done West Virginia Penitentiary in Moundsville, West Virginia. But today I was actually asked by Pat Marin to do a lecture on Paranormal 101, and while I feel like everybody kind of knows how to be a paranormal investigator, you know, there's so much information out there and how to go out to get the equipment to do an investigation, I feel like it was better served to talk about how to make your investigation be maximized, you know, things that you need to put into place to have a really good investigation. So, you know, I want to kind of discuss about our theories and how each of these topics can improve your data, your investigation itself. So when discussing this topic, I think about what makes a good team. Dedicated investigators, good communication amongst the team, working together for your goal. The dynamic of a team is really important. And I'm sure, you know, Chris and Jeremy will say that all day long. But what makes a good investigation? An active location, a rich history, or the unlocked potential of a place that's never been investigated before? I think all of these things are important building blocks, but I see a lot of teams lack a protocol and a standard for their investigations to have the type of evidence that can't really be questioned by themselves or others out in the field. So I feel like a lot of teams need to come together to create a protocol for their investigations. And one of the first things is to set an etiquette, a general etiquette when you're investigating. Things like be on time It's not, you don't want to have members showing up late. It's never good to have a team and you're not cohesive. Wear appropriate clothing. You don't want to get to a location that flip-flops are just not ideal. You know, here is probably not a good idea if you're investigating all night. Bring the necessary equipment. Don't forget that flashlight. If it's dark, you may not know where you're going. Retain your objectivity. Not everything is paranormal, so you really have to focus on making sure that what you're seeing or experiencing isn't actually something just totally normal and you can, you know, find a reason for it. Be respectful to the client and the location. You know how many times we've had clients that just have really obnoxious teams come in, or they're disrespectful to the property. You know, they've touched things or broken things that are important valuables. You know, and that kind of really builds your character and your reputation over time. Don't smoke, drink, or use drugs while you're investigating. I mean, that's one of the number one things that people talk about all the time. Don't horse around. You never know when you might accidentally break something because you're messing around. Don't go anywhere alone. If you're alone on an investigation, you don't have nobody to back up your experiences. You could get injured and nobody knows where to find you. Tag your audio. If you set up an audio recorder and you aren't tagging noises, like in here, I can sit here and listen and hear the rain. I can hear the music. I can hear cars start up, doors shut. So each of those things should be tagged on your audio so that later on when you're reviewing it, you have a clear indication of what sounds you're hearing that are normal and what sounds don't exist in the environment. Speak with an even tone. A lot of times I have some jokesters on my team who say things with really strange voices, and then I'm like, who is that? Was that Christopher? Was that Chris? Was that Jeremy? So, you know, you really have to speak with an even tone and not kind of make strange, funny voices because you never know who it might be. Don't interrupt other people's sessions. Say if you're out investigating and somebody walks through and nobody tags that. It's really frustrating because, A, you don't remember that later on. You know, if you're not reviewing it right away and you don't remember that person walked through, you didn't write it down, that's just messing up a whole bunch of audio, a whole bunch of video, and everything's just disintegrates from there. So making sure that you keep track of that if you do interrupt is important, but I would say just try not to interrupt other people investigating. Excuse me. This is the biggest problem. When you go to Saks Bridge in Gettysburg, say flash when you take a picture. Please, we don't want to be blind. And one of the things that I teach my investigators, like straight off, keep your flashlight beam below the knees. And if you have to shine it above, warn somebody. While each of these things has a deep background of reasoning that keeps your investigation and your team on track, the goal for each investigator is to bring away information or knowledge, whether it be for the investigator or the client. So while you may remember something, somebody else may not. So keeping track of this for everybody is important. So I say, having set guidelines for your investigators sets precedent, so there's a clear understanding of what's expected out of everyone involved. Each person on the team knows what it means to be a member of APS or a member of your team. Communication and understanding of these responsibilities keeps everyone in track and keeping an investigation running smoothly. We have guidelines for our members just to be a member of our group, and we have guidelines for an investigation so that everybody knows the way we should handle every situation. And maintain a set protocol for investigations. We keep detailed interviews from the client, the activity, any persons involved, the recipients, pets, age of the location, illnesses that they may have, stressors that are present in the home, any type of construction that's going on. We keep detailed notes of a walkthrough, find any issues with the location, any safety hazards, things that, you know, are important for the investigation. Our research, we have an incredible researcher. We do deed research, genealogy research, historical facts, geology. You never know when you may find out there's a whole line of limestone in the area that you're in that could explain why the activity is so prevalent. Planning an investigation to me is an important step. I'm a planner. Everybody will tell you that. I like notes. I like paper. So I have lots of documents that we keep track of. And I keep track of where every single piece of equipment is set up, where our cameras are pointed, where our voice recorders are set, the roster of investigators. I get out paperwork from like 2013 and I see that I have that beautiful piece of paper that has all that information on it, and I'm like so excited because I knew exactly who was there. And if I go back to look at that audio again, I remember the voices and I'm like, oh, that's this person, and this one doesn't belong. So you always have that stuff. It's always present in your notes. So we make sure every person has a duty, because you don't want to be asking like, well, what do I do? You know, you have that investigator that doesn't have a purpose. It's kind of pointless. So there's a lot of planning for me that goes into the investigation. The investigation itself, we keep baseline readings, equipment set up, notes. We have the location of equipment, like I talked about before, all of the weather data, audio data, equipment usage. For example, a spirit box. One of the most recent things I've done, even though I used to just keep track of the spirit box's use, I actually keep track of what settings it's on. And I'm going to go through kind of the reason for me explaining all this in a second. We keep our audio data, so where investigators are, we keep what time it is when we start that recorder, what time, where it's at, everything. The equipment usage again, and where investigators are at all times. So when you pull everything together, all this information could link history to activity. It could find logical rather than paranormal explanations. You could understand issues with paranormal equipment placement. You could troubleshoot or shelve equipment that is faulty. You can help with data analysis. Do you have any other things to add to that, Chris? keeping track of all these things keeps your data clean. It keeps all of your information very detailed so that when you go back to it, there is no doubt that what you got was paranormal and not normal. And I believe that all investigators and teams should follow these types of protocols and guidelines so that every piece of data that is shared is clean like that. I feel like we have a responsibility as investigators to get as much information as we can to do the research. And that is it. Any questions? I would say I'm the wrong person to ask that. I'd say each team probably has their own protocol. With our team, we're so busy that we frown upon like our investigators just hopping onto another team, because if they can't do the duties with our team, it kind of seems like you're going to another team and you can't fulfill your duties to ours, then you shouldn't be part of our team. That's where we're at, but we do collaborate a lot. And I know there's been quite a few of our investigators that, you know, we've had no problem with. They've gone and they've done things like the paid for investigations, like a Trans-Allegheny and places like that. Yeah. Yeah, I would say it's all case by case, because some of our investigators just don't fulfill their duties. So as long as you're only up and up with your everything that you're responsible for, I would say then I wouldn't have a problem with it. And honesty is key. You guys have any questions? Okay, so paid for Trans-Allegheny, obviously, because I probably had every experience across the board. And I'm an intuitive empath, so I had one of my first actual mediumship whole things there. And it was, I don't talk about it very much, but it was an incredible experience, and I will never forget it. But other than that, I'd have to say the Masonic Temple, but we can't go there anymore. They sold it, unfortunately. Anything else? I got a full house out here. Nope. That's it? All right. Get out. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope that panel was informative as well as it was short. So, just want to say everything before I do our standard kind of closing out the show is that all the links to APS in regards to Facebook and their actual website will be in the show description. If you're listening to the, got it off the website, it'll be down below or various aspects, and where you get our show, it'll be in the description. So everything will be linked up as to Rebecca's the Antenum Paranormal Society. So that's that. As per contacting, please contact us for questions. We'll pass them along. So to contact us, once again, our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. You can also contact us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. We're also on Twitter and Instagram under the same handle, which is longcoatmafia. So you could always DM us on those platforms, as well as stalk us on those platforms. So please do so. Just hit that follow button. As always, we are our GoFundMe campaign is still going on. You can donate. Every bit counts. Even sharing the website out on social media will also help. It is GoFundMe.com/HelpTheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And if, as per finding all our past episodes, if this is your first episode you're listening to, you can find us on Apple Podcasts /iTunes and Google Play Music /podcasts, depending which one you're going through right now, as well as the Podbean app, as well as Spotify app and the Stitcher app. But if you're more of a desktop /laptop type person, you can always listen to us through iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher Radio. But I recommend, if just in case any of those sites go a little bit wonky, going to our main site, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and downloading our show that way. And that way you can listen to it at your leisure using your favorite MP3 playing app or your favorite music playing app, whether it's Windows Media Player or iTunes or what have you. And the reason why I recommend going to our site or using the Podbean app is because there have been times when iTunes has gotten very wonky when downloading independent podcasts, so I always recommend going to our website if need be. But if Stitcher Radio or Spotify is your thing, you're more than welcome to do that. We do have a YouTube channel. Just search for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast and we will come up. But we do not have that many subscribers right now to have kind of our own little channel. Our channel name in the description, it's all a bunch of letters and numbers right now. So a link to it will be in the show description amongst our other links. So that's down below. Let's see, what else? Mentioned the GoFundMe again. Mentioned all where you can find us and how to contact us. Stay tuned for other topics. We will, later in October, we will be at the 4-State Comic-Con later this October. It's like October 20th, I think it is. So it's later in the month. We'll hopefully have a couple interviews after that for you. Plus, we still have a bunch of Paracon panels sitting waiting to be dropped, as well as we have to put together one or two videos for our YouTube channel. So please stay tuned for that. Oh, by the way, please, I do recommend kind of following us on YouTube as well as Facebook, because normally when I put up a video, if I know that in some strange, ungodly reason, YouTube will ding it in their infinite, stupid reasons, I'll put it up strictly on YouTube and have it be a YouTube exclusive video. Or if I know the video is going to be way too long, I'll put it up strictly on YouTube and have it be a YouTube exclusive video. So please, keep an eye out on both channels or both locations. That way you're not missing anything. So please be aware. We are more active on Twitter than we are on Facebook, and even though Facebook tends to do its own wonky thing every now and again. So I'm rambling. Take care out there, and we'll see you next week, and hopefully we'll have some great things to come.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.